You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. On the day that saw the return of the Premier League, later on in the show, we'll be looking back at an impressive start to the campaign for Arsenal with a 3-0 victory over Fulham. There's only one place to start, really, and that's with the defending champions, Liverpool, taking on Leeds United. Here to discuss it, Shaka, Gab and Stevie Nicol. Liverpool 4, Leeds 3. Stevie, what a way to start the defence of your title. Crikey.
Tell you what, I spent a lot of time shouting at the TV watching this game. Listen, as a spectacle, if you're just a football fan, then it was great to watch. Open, attacking, you know, good decisions going forward, bad decisions defensively, goals. I mean, it basically had pretty much everything except for defending. And from a defensive point of view, it was an absolute shambles, particularly Liverpool. I kind of half expected Leeds to have a sort of gung-ho attitude and I figured they would absolutely have a go. But Liverpool played into their hands big time. I mean, I've never seen such a bad line defensively for Liverpool, far too high. And the one thing and the main thing that caused the problems for Liverpool was rule number one, as a defender, when the ball is not getting closed down, you cannot hold a line. You have to drop off. And Liverpool kept trying to hold a line and ended up with full-backs behind the centre-backs, centre-backs behind the full-backs, everybody all over the place. And so every time Leeds went forward, they looked as though they were going to cause trouble. And to score three goals away from home at Anfield, if somebody had said to them, you're going to score three goals this weekend, they should have fancied themselves to get some, but Liverpool have got quality and they somehow pulled it out once again.
Shaka, it was inevitable. If I go to Stevie on this game, he was going to bring up the defence. Let's take a look at it, as he said, from just a fan's point of view. It was great fun, wasn't it?
It really was, and Leeds are everything they promised to be. You come up against the defending champion, the team that was second leading scorers in the Premier League last term, that had the meanest defence in the Premier League last term, yet you still managed to breach that defence three times. OK, you conceded four at the back. But as I mentioned, Liverpool are as good goal scorers as just about any in the Premier League. Bielsa and Leeds have to be the happier, can I say, in the performance and the fight that they put up. I know Liverpool got the 3 points, but far more questions than answers, as Stevie rightly points out. But Leeds have shown that they can go up against the league's best, be who they are, be who they planned and promised to be, and be a test for anybody in the league. That's a good way to start, points apart.
Gab, as someone who's closely followed Bielsa throughout his career, today's performance, today's tactics, no surprise to you, obviously.
No, obviously, well, no real surprise. And, you know, we obviously saw this last year in the championship as well. I mean, I think one of the things is, with Marcelo Bielsa, it takes time for a league to sort of adjust to the kind of football he plays. And that's why often he's actually started out very, very well pretty much everywhere he's been. Now, obviously, you know, they saw him for two seasons in the championship, but I think the difference is that Leeds United, pound for pound, were had better squads than most of the rest of the championship. Here, it's a different issue. So already I think we see, you know, certain tweaks. So going away from home, even against the defending champions, to play like that, Liverpool are going to be like, well, gee, what's hitting us? And I agree with Shaka. It's a tremendous result for Leeds, despite the defeat, obviously. And also, when you factor in, you know, that early goal, that penalty, which, you know, was at best unlucky for Leeds United.
Stevie, what do you do with Rodrigo if you're Bielsa? Your team have gone out there, they've given everything. It's 3-3, and then you come off the bench and you just make a stupid, lazy challenge to give away the penalty.
Yeah, well, I think I think lazy's a bit harsh. First of all, Dan, you don't do anything. You pat him in the back and say, look, hey, we need get on the bus, let's get home, we'll start again tomorrow. I think lazy's probably the wrong word, Dan. It's a tackle of a person who doesn't know what they're doing in their own penalty box. That's what it is, you know. The guy's a centre forward, he knows nothing about challenging. He clearly is way off in his time, and so it's just one of those things. Listen, had he been standing on the halfway line with his arms folded, you could have gone crazy at him for not helping out. But the fact is, you've got a centre forward who only wants to score goals, having to do a job that he doesn't know anything about. And it's clumsy is what it is. It's definitely a penalty, but you don't say anything to him. You just, hey, move on.
Of course, Salah getting his hat-trick, Stevie. Two of them penalties, that one, the third. In between them, though, that second goal was so nonchalant.
Well, that's Mohamed Salah, isn't it? You know, we spent last year so many times, as good as he was at times, his touch was as bad and he couldn't control it and he would give balls away. But the reason you can't take your eyes off Salah is because from nowhere he produces something special, and it was a special strike. And actually, when the ball hit the net, I kind of switched off. I thought the whistle had gone. Because it was that nonchalant, I thought the referee must have blown his whistle for a free kick or something. But no, he hadn't. It's just Mo Salah.
It is, isn't it, Shaq? And sometimes we've been critical of him when we looked at him last season, yet he still got the goals, obviously key part of Liverpool winning the league. But that goal, it just looked like it was a training ground strike.
It was. And I think we've seen that from time to time from Mo Salah. Not that strike in particular, but how sometimes he doesn't even look like he's ready to hit it, or he's about to, or he's paying attention, and all of a sudden the ball falls to him and he does something magical. And as much as we've spoken about Mo Salah and his finishing and the goals that he's gotten, I certainly can't think of one similar where he hit it as cleanly, where it was as exact as you'd seen from him. It really was a striker's finish. And that's coming from somebody who I think we've seen it all from over the last couple of seasons. But had the keeper beaten all ends up, had us all fooled. But as Stevie says, that's Mo Salah.
Meanwhile, Stevie, obviously you've already mentioned the frailties at the back. Van Dijk, your rock, was far from that today.
Yeah, absolutely. He's since actually Liverpool won the league, he has stepped off his perch onto somebody else's, because this is not the guy who... Listen, when Liverpool signed him, up until his signing, they had problems defensively, and particularly with the line. And this guy came in and absolutely solidified it, was the rock, as you said. But now, after this performance today, and actually previously, Liverpool and Klopp have to go back to square one when Van Dijk came in and get on the training field and do what they did to make it a good line and a solid line and an organised line, because it was none of those things. And it hasn't been like that since they won the Premier League. So, yeah, Van Dijk has taken a step down and has to get himself, dust himself off, have a look at what he did right, have a look at what he's been doing wrong, and start again. And that's what Liverpool have to do defensively. They have to start again from the day that guy walked through the door and do what they did to solidify what they had. Because if they don't, then they have no chance of defending a Premier League title. You can't lose three goals at home and expect to win games, or even you shouldn't really be getting a point either. So the sooner they sort this out, the better. And I'm beginning to question, can they sort it out? It was such a shambles.
Yeah, how much do we read into this Liverpool performance, Gab?
Well, I think, you know, look, you get all the mitigating factors out of the way. Short preseason, they've had friendlies, but not sort of proper friendlies. Weird conditions, no spending over the summer, hangover, all this stuff, get it out of the way. And I think there is kind of a truth to this, is that it's a whole heck of a lot easier for Liverpool to defend when people are pressing the ball further up the pitch. Otherwise, if you play a high line in those situations, as Stevie's alluded to earlier, you know, you're going to be vulnerable. And it's not as if, as well as Leeds played, it's not as if, you know, they had 15 shots on goal. Some of those goals that they scored were difficult goals and facilitated by defensive errors. And I think you have to bear that in mind. I agree, there's things that the back line can do better, but equally, I think it's as much of a team situation and how they defend as a team as it is the individuals.
I really disagree with the last bit, by the way, because, you know, you can't always go and press in teams. And so the first goal comes from Liverpool not really pressing with a whole team.
Exactly.
And Phillips gets the ball right in the middle of his own half, and there's nobody within 15 yards in a circle round him.
That's what I'm saying.
But yet, you've got Liverpool's back line trying to push up just almost on the halfway line. Now, that's not, well, it was one of those days type of things. That is a huge fundamental problem. It doesn't get any more basic than your back line closing when there's no pressure on the ball. It really is a huge problem. If you get it wrong, and you saw what happens today. And if you don't fix that, you're in big, big trouble defensively. I don't care how good you are as individuals.
But they were doing that.
You have to defend as a group.
They were doing that last year,
not defending as a group.
Yeah, no, but that was a point I made. I mean, because in terms of the back line pushing up, that's what they were doing last year. But obviously, it's easier to get away with it.
No, what they were doing last year, Gab.
No,
Gab. No, I'm sorry, Gab. What they were doing last year. And I'm not talking about what's in front of the back line, Gab. I'm talking about the actual back four. Whatever the back four did, they did it together last year when they were successful. That's the key to it all. Whatever's going on in front of them, whether it's good or bad, they're the back line. It's their job to be the back line. You're the last line of defence. And what they did well was they did every single thing together. They were up and down the field, whatever it was, together. What they're doing now is they are all over the place. They got one back, two up, one wide, one too tight. It's an absolute shambles, and it's huge, Gab. Please, I'm telling you. You get this wrong and you're going to lose goals for fun.
Why has it changed when it's the same personnel, Stevie?
Lack of concentration. Maybe they haven't been working on it in training. You know what? You've got to give Leeds a lot of credit because they kept asking the same question. And they couldn't fix it on the field. You know, after the second ball went in behind, now you've got Trent Alexander thinking, do I stay up or do I drop? So he decides to drop and everybody else stays up and they lose a goal. So from there, every single one's beginning to think about what they're doing. What am I doing? Where am I? Instead of, as a unit, looking along the line, stay in line with your centre-backs. Again, it's one of the easiest rules. Whatever full-back on whatever side, you stay in line with your centre-back. And then your two centre-backs stay in line with each other. And the other full-back staying in line with the centre-back. And so you're coming up and down as the line. But when you start thinking about yourself and not the line, then you saw what happened today. Absolute and utter shambles.
Shaka, you were saying before you felt that this was the end of Liverpool's title defence today.
I don't even know how to respond to that, Dan. Listen, you're Premier League champions.
Hey, if they don't sort it out, it will be.
I'm just saying, listen, you start off, you get a win, all right? There's a lot to be fixed, as Steve Lee rightly points out. Now, you can shout to the front three for not applying pressure on the ball early enough, but as a defender and as a back four, if they somehow shirk their duties, you have to adjust accordingly. And they didn't. So whether we shout and scream as fans at the back four, or whether Jurgen Klopp pulls the front three into his office or the training ground and they sort that out, I think they will. Gab also pointed out the mitigating circumstances. Yes, given the pandemic and what we saw back end of last season, Liverpool finished poorly, but they had a League One. And now you've got no real preseason, not many games to get things right. And you're using these to fine tune. I think that's what you're seeing, the fine tuning. And you come up against a test that you didn't experience last season, you have no experience of, but you somehow come away with 3 points. And that's what you take. You take that we have been awful. We had no preseason. We were awful for 90 minutes, and we get 3 points. And we will be better. And to Steve's point about Van Dijk, I'm not as concerned about his form. Yes, he was poor towards the back end of last season, but what you saw from him, certainly with the Dutch national team, is Van Dijk, in my opinion, being back to himself. And now he made a mistake in a way that I don't think we'd seen from him in the last 18 months since his arrival at Liverpool. And we've seen mistakes from Alisson, not counting in his injuries, but he's had mistakes. Everybody we've spoken about in a similar term. But Van Dijk, you put that down, you take it, you come away somewhere with 3 points, you build from there.
Stevie, from a Leeds perspective, how sustainable is this type of play in the Premier League to keep them safe?
Oh, my goodness. That's a tough one, Dan. Because I get the feeling that this Leeds team, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the venue, regardless of whether there's fans or no fans, this team's going to play exactly the way they played today. And so that means that they're going to score a lot of goals, but they're also going to lose a lot of goals. And the only way they can survive is if the goals they score outweigh the ones they let in. And I'm not so sure they can do that. After seeing how they perform today, considering the way they're going to play, this is going to be tough for them. You cannot go and think that to win a game away from home, you're going to have to score 3 or 4 goals. Because that's not sustainable. Listen, you can get the team fit to run all day and chase all day. But I'll tell you what, you can't afford to lose as many goals every time you step on the field and expect to get points and ultimately to stay up.
Gab?
I mean, you can look at it that way, or you can say that those 4 goals that you gave up, one of them was a tremendous finish from Salah on perhaps where the defense was a bit unlucky in clearing the ball to where he was. And, you had 2 penalties. One of them, I thought, a penalty, but unlucky. The other one, a stupid mental error from a guy who shouldn't have been tackling in that way where he was. So, yet you scored 3 goals away from home, I think Leeds United, given their stature, given the fact there's more investment to come, given the fact that Fulham and West Brom, I think, are not as well equipped, I think they're in a pretty good place. I'd be surprised if they went down. Based on the 90 minutes we've seen.
What do you think?
If I'm Leeds, as I said before, I'm happy with the performance. I know who I am. It's brought success, albeit in the Championship before. I'm looking at games to come because I think for promoted teams to stay up, you have to start well. Off the top of my head, you've got Villa, you've got Fulham, you've got Sheffield United, all to come between now and the end of October. You get a decent run going, and you score some goals, even if you concede a few. I think Leeds have more than enough to stay up. And again, as much as we could talk about them conceding 4 today, they conceded 4 away to the Premier League champions, the team that was second leading scorers in the league last season. And as Gab pointed out, 2 of those were penalties. It's not all doom and gloom as that scoreline might suggest.
Sunday is all about Tottenham kicking off their campaign against a new-look Everton side. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. We'll be looking back at that match. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Let's turn our attentions now to the game that kicked things off. Fulham taking on Arsenal. Arsenal with a 3-0 victory. Lacazette, Aubameyang and Gabriel getting the 3 goals. in what, Stevie, was a very comfortable 90 minutes for Arteta's side.
Well, it was a comfortable 88 minutes. After 2 minutes, they almost went behind from a mistake from Gabriel. But after that, I mean, you talk about... I mean, he couldn't have written it up any better. They gave Fulham absolutely zero going the other way. They dominated the ball in the middle of the park. They got the goals, 3 goals away from home, a clean sheet, an away win. The top man scores a classic Aubameyang goal, dipping his shoulder, comes inside, puts it in the top corner, final whistle blows, 3-0 away from home. Thank you very much. I mean, for Arsenal fans and Arteta, it does not get any better or any easier than this. I'll tell you what, I bet he wishes he could play Fulham every Saturday, though.
I know. They are definitely going to struggle. Hey, we talked about it before, Shaq. What was better, Aubameyang or Salah's goal?
Ooh, I'm going to go Aubameyang. I like the little drop inside. I like how it sits up and yet still he's able just to kind of shape it and almost place it in the top corner. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's two simply outstanding goals, but I just give Aubameyang the edge, yeah?
He's going to sign a new contract, isn't he, Gav? Arteta's going to lock him in his house until he does.
You know, this is one of those things where we've been hearing it every single day for like the last 6 months, whether it's Julian Lawrence, whether it's people in the know or whatever. Yeah, it's happening. Oh, they got to wait for them to come back. They're going to do a big social media thing. They're doing a special event. Oh, just wait. No, it's next week. And oh, they want to wait for the schools to start. Man, I don't know. Everybody says, oh, don't worry about it. So I'll just go with that. But look, I mean, the transfer window's open till October 5th. I would like to see him sign before that date. Otherwise, you know, you start to count down.
You like to talk about defences, Stevie. Gabriel, what were your first impressions of him? Obviously, getting the goal error, though, early on. Where do you stand?
To be honest with you, I'm no further forward. He didn't get tested today. It wasn't a test. You can understand, you know, the first couple of minutes of a game, being a little nervous. He's not alone in that. Everybody's in the same boat. But after that, you couldn't judge him on anything because he pretty much didn't have anything to do. So I'll wait and see him in a couple of games before I make my mind up whether he'll cut it or not.
Gabriel scoring on his debut then, Shaka. One man who didn't score, but he did provide all three assists. Willian, I thought, was superb today.
Yeah, without question. Maybe surplus the requirements at Chelsea, but exactly what Arsenal needed. Arsenal, as we've been saying for some time, talented squad, but really lacked a backbone, needed leaders in that dressing room, and Willian has come in and provided both. Certainly in terms of leadership, you saw that out on the park today. Everything about Arsenal today, as good as it was, comes with the caveat that it was against Fulham. But Arsenal needed leaders, they needed leadership, they found them both in Willian, and you show it. Now they have to build on that.
We can only assess really what we saw then, Gab. Overall, if you can get this performance from the Brazilian week in, week out, what a signing it would prove to be.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he plays to this level for the next 3 years until the end of his salary, then yeah. I mean, he's a great, if you're talking about, you know, the benefits of the signing, locking yourself up like that, I still think it was the wrong decision because you've got other young people, because you've got other veteran strikers or veteran forwards who are huge money, and then you want to make a decision on. Willian is in, but we know he can do that. And certainly, I mean, that pass to that set up Aubameyang, but it doesn't happen without Willian getting the ball, looking up, making a quick decision, delivering the perfect pass to Alba, who then did the rest. So in that sense, if your goal, you know, short term, I think he can certainly help you.
Stevie?
Well, I thought it was nice of them to wear blue for him today because he must have made him feel at home with the old Chelsea jersey on. But not a shock.
Goodness me.
Well, no, Willian's a good player. Chelsea absolutely wanted to keep him, but obviously couldn't get the figures done. So no surprise. Absolutely no surprise. I would, however, be interested in what Pepe thinks. You know, this time, or what, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, coming for, what, 70-odd million? Mm. Now he's sat on the bench and they've just signed a 30-plus guy. I think I would be a little worried if I was Pepe.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. A lot more from Stevie Gabb and Shaka over on Extra Time answering your questions. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
The late game today saw West Ham take on Newcastle. Newcastle in the end with a thoroughly deserved 2-0 victory. And of course, we had to keep Shaka Hislop with us to discuss his old teams going head to head. Shaka, let's start off with Newcastle. Perfect start. Took their chances and got the 3 points.
Absolutely. Steve Bruce would be delighted with how things went today. You come down to London, you get 3 points, get your season off to a winning start. You get goals from two players you signed in the summer, in Wilson and Hendrick. And Newcastle look solid. You know, at times during last season, my big criticism of them was simply that they would defend and hope to keep a clean sheet and hope that somebody from the opposition slipped and fell over unexpectedly because they didn't have much of a game plan going forward. This time around, on this evidence, against a West Ham team who, by the looks of it, was struggled during the course of this campaign, Newcastle looked solid. They looked like they knew what they were doing. They were able to make changes and affect the game in a way that I don't think we'd seen from them last season. If you're Newcastle, you're happy with what you saw. It's not going to get you into the top six, but it certainly would stave away some of those relegation concerns that plagued you for a lot of last season.
Well, of course, last season when Bruce came in, everyone was like, oh, you know, everyone was talking then about Newcastle, obviously not having the funds to reinforce. But today it just showed, wasn't it, what he brings and what his side will bring to these sort of matches. They will be well organised, and if they can take their chances with these new signings, they will.
Yeah, and that's right. And right now, that's a huge step in the right direction. As I mentioned, they had been organised before, albeit defensively. But I just felt that the previous versions of Newcastle we've seen under Steve Bruce were, we're going to defend as best we can. We're going to play as deep as we possibly can. And then maybe we launch one long and hope to get something from a set piece if we throw Andy Carroll on. But it never seemed to be much more thought attack-wise from Newcastle. This time around, I felt it was different. You saw the running of Wilson up front. You saw Jonjo Shelvey joining in, a player who I've always liked and think adds a whole lot to this team. Hendrick coming in, again, provided an assist for the first goal and an incredible finish for the second. I can't describe how hard that is to do, to dig a dead ball out the way that he did in finding the top corner. You come away from that and you are simply delighted. You're looking forward to training this week. You're looking forward to the games that are to come, when over the last season or two, I'm not sure Newcastle United had too many of those weeks.
And very much then at the opposite end of the spectrum, West Ham were terrible, Shaq.
Yeah, and that's a challenge under David Moyes. He was brought in to do a job. The thing with West Ham is, the last time David Moyes was brought in to do a job, he did it. They stayed up, but he was replaced and they found themselves in relegation fights yet again. David Moyes brought back in to keep them up, and he did that. So the ownership group felt that he deserved a shot, and all things being equal, he probably did. But under David Moyes, you know what you're going to get, certainly this version of West Ham. And listen, for the life of me, and I know it's a difficult start to the season in that you had a short, almost non-existent pre-season, given what happened earlier in the year, the pandemic and the late finish of the season, and you aren't able really to get things right. But given the games that West Ham have to come, where I'm not sure where where the next 3 points are going to come from, or if they were going to get three in the next three points in the next six, I think you throw everything you have at this and hope for the best. I thought West Ham's strongest team is the team that we saw finished with Yarmolenko, Felipe Anderson, and Sebastian Heller sitting in behind Michael Antonio. Mark Noble, who I think the world of, but he doesn't have the legs to lead an attack and or to drive West Ham's midfield. And as a result, what you've seen for much of this game was dour and doesn't give you much hope for what's to come. And now West Ham's challenge, now David Moyes' challenge is if they find themselves back end of October, first week of November, without a win, which is a distinct possibility now, propping up the table, confidence is hard to come by. Points are even harder. You're in a relegation fight where we all know how those go and how important good starts to the season are. And you're just not sure how you get it right at that point.
Thank you very much, Shaki. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then, quite the opening day in the Premier League. Thank you as always to Gab Marcotti, Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol for their company. The next show will all be about, I imagine, Spurs against Everton. Be sure to join us then. Until then, goodbye. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka Hislop, Gab Marcotti and Stevie Nicol with us. Stevie, first question for you. Does Stevie think that Liverpool need a new throwing coach? They scored four today.
Yeah.
They conceded from a throw-in, didn't they today? What does that mean? Does he have any influence in the defending of a throw-in?
Oh, no. No, just going that way.
Right.
No, doesn't matter about that, no. No, I don't do that. I go that way.
All right, OK. Lots of Liverpool.
By the way.
Yes?
By the way, Gab, has anybody else got a throw-in coach in the Premier League?
There is only one Gronemark in existence.
Yeah.
So, no, but you know, you joke about this, but I was speaking to somebody who met with him recently, and he has people who are continually trying to go and copy what he does, you know, trying to get secrets because they figure it can't be rocket science, right? So there's got to be a way to be as effective, whether it's the throwing techniques, the moving off the ball. So he's always coming up with new material to stay ahead of the curve. Well, you know, like those urban stand-up comedians, you know, people, you don't want people ripping off your stuff, Stevie.
You're just trolling Stevie now.
He's coming up with new stuff, yeah, right?
Stevie, do Liverpool need to find a replacement?
Hey, hold on. See, hey, I've got that. A new winner. Okay, yeah. Here's what we do, lads. I want you to face the stand and throw it that way.
Is that allowed?
Do you think that'll catch on, Gab?
Stevie, I'm not biting. Do you need to find a replacement for Firmino? He looked like the worst player on the pitch.
Ooh. No, I think the closer to the goal he gets, the more he seems to be tightening up. He certainly looked gun-shy. I mean, he was through right at the very start of the game. Should have dinked it, should have at least had a shot at goal, tried to cut it back. And then the one in the second half, when he was through right in the middle of the goal, and he hit it with the outside of his foot, and it was actually going wide. It hit somebody on the way, but it was actually going wide. He just looks terrified when he gets close to goal. Now, his other play's great, as we know, but I mean, there's only so long you can keep missing chances like the ones he's had today.
For Gab, despite being the inspiration for many top managers and being known for his tactical prowess, why hasn't Bielsa managed at a really top club and has failed to win notable silverware?
I think I'll give you the straight answer. The reality is a lot of people are put off by his personality, in the sense that they don't quite know what to make of him. And when I say people, I mean, you know, club owners, decision makers. He's so much his own man. And there's a certain unpredictability to him. I think in some ways, if you go back, there was a turning point in Bielsa's career, which was probably 2002, at the World Cup, where everything blew up in his face. Had he pulled that off, had he won the World Cup, maybe Bielsa would have chilled out a bit. Maybe he would have been, you know, less eccentric to some. And maybe from there he goes on and he manages a string of super clubs in Europe and goes and wins everything. Now, that it never got to that point. And I think he's been seen by somebody who is perhaps too much of a gamble, which is why, you know, again, you saw him at clubs like Marseille and Athletic Bilbao and, you know, not PSG or Real Madrid. And then even when he gets to England, it's got to be at Leeds and whatever. That's why he went to Chile and laid the foundation for that great Chile side that won the Copa America. It's the way I think other people almost fear him because he's so different. And let's not forget, he's also somebody who's walked out on jobs on more than one occasion. And he gives you the impression that he's there for the football and doesn't care about the politics. And sometimes as a manager, you got to do a bit of both.
Xhaka, what piece or pieces does Arteta need to add in order for them to be considered serious contenders? Brilliant for performance today sends a message, doesn't it?
It does. It was a great performance, and as I said before during the show, the caveat being that I was against Fulham. What pieces they need to add? I'm still not 100% certain about them at the back. They weren't tested today. I'm still not 100% convinced by Leno. Didn't have anything to do today. So we will see how they progress. I think they've improved on where they were, but still not. I still don't see them changing anywhere near the top. Still a lot of work for us to do.
Is that you making a noise, Gab?
Yeah, I mean, it looks really impressive. It's like they're building on what they did before. But again, you know, today you had Elneny starting in midfield, which a few people would have expected in the summer. They assumed he'd be loaned out or he'd be sold again. Now obviously we assume Elneny's not going to start there the whole year, but already the next game, whether Dani Ceballos comes in or whatever, it's going to be different because Dani Ceballos is a very different player from Elneny. You know, there's no Saka, there's no Martinelli anywhere, and as we said on the show, there's no Pepe either. So I think we're going to still, this Arsenal are still very much a work in progress, evolving towards something, which is why I think it's risky to draw any deep conclusions from the win over Fulham.
Stevie, after your first training session, meeting or match, could you tell how good or bad your team would be for the year? Meaning like a gut feeling or something in that vein. Stevie, could you tell us as a coach also you ever completely wrong after the year had ended?
No, I can't honestly say I was surprised. Yeah, you definitely do get a gut feeling. And I can't honestly say that I was ever wrong. The first game I took charge of the Revs, the second time, I thought we had good players, but we just had a lack of belief. And then from there, we added good players. And by the time my last year there, at the start of the year, I knew we weren't very good. And I knew I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't change it. I couldn't bring in players that were better than the ones we had. And I knew it was going to be a struggle, and it wasn't a surprise to me when I ended up losing my job at the Rev. So, no, you definitely got a gut feeling, but I was never wrong. Unfortunately, I was definitely, I wish I'd been wrong the last year I was there.
Shaka, when you were top of the table with Newcastle at the start of the season, did you have a gut feeling that this team was going to go all the way?
No, in all honesty, I think it's tougher to get that kind of feeling or that gauge when you've just joined a club. When I joined Newcastle in 95, I think it was Newcastle's second year in the Premier League. They'd done well previously, but then they had a whole lot of changes. They sold Andy Cole during the course of the previous season. They added Ferdinand Ginola, Warren Barton. So there was a lot of buzz, but you never quite know good enough to challenge. Well, certainly that season was Manchester United. And, you know, as I think about it, every time you join a new club and there are new additions, you're never quite sure how it's all going to come together, you know, because it's your first time there and you don't know some of the other guys. And then you're pleasantly surprised. After that, I think, you know, second and third season, you kind of get a better feeling for the place, a better feeling for the club and exactly how good or how bad you'll be.
Shaka, when you played against Leeds, how was the nightlife around West Yorkshire?
I never went out in West Yorkshire, Daniel, so I don't know.
It's I tell you what,
that's only because the boss went straight home after the game. That's why.
That's right. I did, Stephen. I did.
I've been out in West Yorkshire quite a lot, and I tell you, the price of a pint is a lot cheaper than it is, say, around Gab's area, which we were discussing before. is what, Gab? £6.50? What's that, $8.50?
It's £6.75, actually.
Wow.
You live in Buckingham Palace?
I never know it's court. No, you know what it is I don't know if it's the pandemic or whatever, but obviously they have to factor in table service and whatnot. And, you know, people have higher costs these days.
Imagine Stevie being charged £6.75 for a pint.
Honestly. Hey, when I started going to the pub, it was 50 pence a pint.
Ah, back in the day. I still love the thought of Stevie.
Back in the day.
Stevie at the airports where you've got to order on a tablet. And that just, I just can't imagine how you get away with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, listen, the biggest problem when the planes are delayed is not the delay of the plane, it's what it's going to cost you.
Right.
Between then and getting actually on it. That's the problem.
Final question. Would any of you have considered having a man bun, as Leeds players seem to be required to have?
No.
There was some good hair, wasn't there, on the start?
Yes, no, none of it is good.
No?
No man bun is good.
You don't like it?
Honestly.
I think it should be illegal.
Man buns and elastic bands on your hair. I mean, really. And clips.
What a clips. Clips and hair bands.
Man buns are jailable. That should be a jailable offence.
Oh, Steve, you look lovely in a man bun. Gab?
I did try to grow my hair years ago when I played rugby in college at Pierce Garrier, but it just grows so freaking slowly. And when you tried to do it, there was just like this much hair, and like it just, no. I could never pull it off. So I'm not going to criticize. Some people look appropriate. It is appropriate.
No, they don't.
It's just never appropriate for me.
No, they don't, Dan. No, they don't, Gab. There's never been an appropriate man bun. Never.
What if Cristiano wore a man bun? Would you be okay with
it? Cut it off. I would jail him as well.
I tell you what, Gab. Oh. It shouldn't be allowed.
Oh, God. Why should it be allowed, Stevie?
You got a man bun. If you got a man bun on the top of your head, right, how are you supposed to flick a ball on? Get stuck up in the man bun. I had a player. Shalree Joseph played for the Revs. He used to put his hair up like that, like a pineapple on his head. So we had to move him because he used to go to the post and flick it on. We had to move him because I'm like, there's no way you're going to be able to do it with that stupid thing on top of your head. So it shouldn't be allowed.
Great too.
Well, you know, if he styled it in the correct way, with like some kind of like, you know, scoop effect on top of his head, it might have actually made it easier for him.
Could you have put the ball
you just
on?
Didn't think you,
could it be? Like,
no, you didn't think that way because, Stevie, the thing is, you mock Liverpool's throw-in coach. You never considered perhaps having, you know, some sort of a follicular hair coach
me.
To help See, players with sophisticated hair.
See, you sound like a right journalist. I never mocked the throw-in coach.
Well, the
I
notion
never mocked
of
the throw-in coach. I didn't. I basically said you don't need a throw-in coach. No. I didn't mock the guy. I didn't call the guy names or make fun of him. I just said that the stuff he's doing is the same as people have been doing for years, for 10 and 20 years.
He called you a dinosaur, okay,
said,
didn't he, Stevie?
Maybe he can help with the actual mechanics of taking a throw, but don't, you know, all this about the movement and all that. It's the same stuff.
You know that that's most of what he does, though.
Yes.
Most of what he does is the mechanics of the throw. So, like, he studies the biomechanics and the way people go so that they can throw further and more accurately, I think.
All right, I get that. But journalists, I mean, Jules was saying, oh, you can see the work he's been doing with the players because this guy ducked and the other guy jumped over it and the third guy flipped it over the back of his head and then he put it in the net. You can see him been working on it. That's what actually got up my nose.
Okay, that's it. We are done. Thank you very much. A nice full circle in extra time today. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
Oh, my God.